If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was the victim of a vicious, uncalled for attack from George Kittle today. We will discuss that and more next on 49ers After Dark. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to 49ers After Dark. That's Jesse Naylor. I'm Grant Cohn. And there's a lot of news going around, a lot of big stories, important stories going on with the 49ers right now. Nothing more important than what George Kittle said to me a few hours ago. I mean, that's the center of the news right now. George, I was just sitting there minding my business. George Kittle comes in and you could tell something was off with him. Like right away, he had a look in his eye. It was crazy. And he stands there and says, before I take any questions, I just want to say that, you know, you guys look at me. I'm looking at you. And you guys need better shoes. Grant in particular, you wear Vans every day. And I do. I thought I was wearing New Balances, but in fact, I was wearing Vans. So my question, after this, now that George Kittle has really said some things he can't take back, should I sue him?
Grant, I don't know if we should even joke about this. The last time that there was a joke.
Because you know that my number one goal is to just sue the athletes that I cover. So I think I have an opportunity here. What do you think? George Kittle's worth a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very, very good point. You can take him for all the shoes that he owns.
Yeah, all the Nikes.
Mm. Then you too can have cool shoes. My question is does this detour you from wearing Vans at practice tomorrow? That's the real
Absolutely.
Question.
Like, I'm shook. He's in my head. There's no way I can show up wearing Vans tomorrow at practice. He's got me.
Maybe you should rock a suit. Rock that full suit jacket tomorrow.
I'm going to have to throw it back in his face somehow. But I feel like I like to think of myself as the best dressed person on the beat, but I guess I can't say that because I sometimes get in a groove of wearing the same exact thing every day, which he's noticed.
He has. You had the man bag thing going on. He called you out on that. Then you called him out on the shirt with his girlfriend on it, and the
he had
denim
like a whole Levi. He had like a denim on denim Levi situation going that just wasn't working for him.
You guys have this you guys are like kindred spirits.
Look, I will say he does have a good sense of humor, but I don't appreciate him using it on me. And I'm a critical journalist, but I can't take criticism. So knock it off, George. I don't like it. It's not the relation. I criticize you, not the other way around.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there's this is a one-way road in criticism. I do, you know what though? It is funny because George, I watched the Receiver show. I don't know if you watched it, but for me, it's like George, if I was working with George, he would annoy the hell out of me. Like, he would be the employee that I would want nothing to do with. It's like, dude, get out of my face. However, I like that he gets up in front of the media, has a little fun with you guys, knows you by name, calls you out, takes some shots, and also knows that you guys are going to take shots back at him. And it has nothing to do with football, by the way. Like, he's talking about fashion sense. You're talking about fashion sense with him. And I feel like that's whether he actually likes you or not, I don't know, but he definitely enjoys the banter with you. That's for sure.
I would agree. I'm not sure if he actually likes me, but I think he does enjoy the banter. What I enjoy about him is he's like the quintessential tight end. I feel like each position sort of has a personality, and tight ends are like some of the more interesting players on the team, because the way I look at tight ends is they're like kind of individualists. They're sort of in the offensive line. They're sort of like receivers. They're kind of on their own. And if you watch George Kittle in practice, you're there for large portions, like during the special teams portions. He doesn't do special teams. He's starting tight end. So it's just him and the tight end coach. And it's like 89 guys, George Kittle. He's kind of off on his own. He has his own perspective. He can be tight ends can be a little bit more sarcastic. They don't have to be all gung-ho. And you've seen like some interesting, unique tight ends like Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski. George Kittle's right in that tradition. So I appreciate his personality.
I want to bring this up though too, because during OTAs he came out, you guys interviewed him, and he really seemed somber at that moment. And we were trying to figure out why. You know, is it Super Bowl hangover, all these other things? And I said, you know, maybe it's just the fact that he's not fully healthy and he's not playing football, because he needs that. A lot of these guys, they truly need that. It's their identity, it's who they are. And I think George is one of those guys. I think he might have the professional wrestling thing down, and that will keep him going after this. But also, I could see if George doesn't find something that he takes a liking to very, very quickly after football, like he could be one of those guys that kind of gets depressed a little bit. So now that you've seen him and you joked with him today, would you say that it was probably the fact that he wasn't playing football a couple months ago was why he was kind of down, more so than for him, at least, being a Super Bowl hangover or what have you?
Possibly. And you know what I think he needed? Retail therapy.
No.
You know, just go out. You know, you lost the Super Bowl. You had 4 yards in it. Go to Macy's. You know what I'm saying? Go to Nordstrom. Go to Nike. Get some shoes. There is no Super Bowl hangover that a new pair of shoes can't cure. And when we know one thing about George is he has really nice shoes. And if he wants to make this a battle between me and him about fashion, let's go. Let's go, because this guy is just a day away from wearing some denim on denim that is completely unforgivable, and I'm ready to talk to him about it in public in the press conference. He just threw down the gauntlet. I'm not going to wait till the press conference is over, George. No, you better look nice every day. And I don't know about that man bun, man. We're going to have to talk about that man bun. I think it needs to go. Thoughts on the man bun? Jesse?
Not a big man bun guy. Not a big man bun guy at all. In fact, there was a... This always cracked me up. This was like 3-4 years ago. There was a guy that would go around cutting other dudes' man buns. Totally messed up, but very, very funny from afar to watch.
Just like from behind? He'd like
put him in he'd cut them and then he'd put them in a jar and run off.
Sorry. George, I feel like, has been growing that since 2017.
Yeah. For sure.
Okay,
it's
so
totally
George,
the wrestler look, though.
You'll be hearing from my lawyers. Cease and desist. Karan Sharma says, I asked George to get your new sneakers. Size 11.
Well,
I got to get better sneakers and then ask George if he likes them, because I need his approval. I want his approval. Frank Tom Ocean says, Kittle, if you're watching, no balls to shout out the Cone Zone in last second sports. Let's go. P.S. My family rocks Vans too. Go Niners.
They're comfortable. I'll give them that. They're comfortable.
Are you not a Vans guy? No.
I don't wear Vans. Like, I have a pair of Nikes that are probably similar to Vans. They look like kind of like skate shoes or what have you. But no, I'm an Adidas Boost guy, man. As I've gotten older, it's like all about comfortability. So give me something with Boost in it and I'm good to go.
Adidas are nice. I like Adidas. I just like wearing American companies if I can, because we won World War II, not Germany. So
good point.
Just because of World War II.
I do have some Jordans, multiple pairs, but I haven't worn them in years because they're just not comfortable.
My thing with Jordans is like, you're wearing,
you have to wear them with an athlete
who's in his 60s. Like, that's like wearing Ricky Henderson's. It's like, yeah, anybody was super fast.
Anybody who has a pair of Jordans knows that you can only wear them with certain things, usually joggers. A lot of people mess up. They wear them with jeans. They don't look good with jeans. You can't wear them with shorts because they're high tops mostly, and they make your ankles look fat. Like, you can't, you know what I mean? Like, everybody knows what I'm talking about. You can only wear Jordans a certain way. You can't tie them tight. You got to let your foot breathe. You have to wear them a certain way with certain clothing. Usually it's joggers. And it's like, I only have so many pairs of joggers. Sorry. I mostly wear shorts, and Jordans just don't go.
Okay, we just talked about fashion for 10 minutes because that's what you wanted. A lot of news going on in 90 Universe. We need to talk about sneakers first. We did that. Now let's talk about the panic meter. The shoe game, stock up. The rest of the team, not so great right now. So we're going to go one by one with the most concerning topics and give a number on 1 to 10 how much we're currently panicking. And I'm extremely anxious about this.
I can tell. You've been texting me for 2 hours. You're like, dude, yes. I don't even want to do this. Like, you just have that feeling in your heart. Yeah. So first one, Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing, they've made literally no impact. Like, you had Pearsall come out for a day, made a nice catch. He also had a drop. Had, I think, one more nice catch over the course of the next few practices, got injured again. Neither of them have played in preseason. Almost zero impact from the rookie wide receivers. What's your panic meter from 1 to 10? 10 being the most panicked you can be.
Okay, I'm going to give this... I'm going to give this a 7.
Okay.
I'm going to say a 7 because it's really not good news for this year. They're falling behind, and I think it's tough for rookies to catch up. Maybe vets can. Guys who've been through it know what it takes, but these guys are falling behind in their first year. Those are usually guys who get redshirted or don't contribute until someone gets hurt. Does it mean they're going to not contribute in 2-3 years down the line? No. A lot of times wide receivers take a few years, so maybe they'll end up being great, but it's looking like they're not going to contribute much. Like Chris Conley is going to be the guy filling in for Ayuk until Ayuk's ready.
One of the first things I noticed when I was at training camp was how small Pearsall was. And the 49ers just dropped a brick by brick. And it went through and showed Pearsall when he showed up at 49ers facilities for the first time and gave Shanahan a hug. I think exactly the same size. And Shanahan's not a big guy. Yeah. So I do worry about Pearsall and his size and how that's going to translate to the NFL. But my panic meter for this year would be at a 10, probably, if they had to rely on these guys
this year.
But because they don't, and because they have some time to grow here, I believe I'm probably more at like a 5. You know, I'm certainly not ready to call either of these guys a bust. Cowing, first of all, can't be a bust because he was drafted so much later. But I'm not ready to go there with Pearsall at all. There's so much time left. I never expected him to make a big impact this year anyways, which is kind of why I was frustrated with the fact that they drafted him. It just didn't ever make sense to me for a team that's trying to win a Super Bowl this year. So for that reason, I'll be at a 5, more so because of the injuries, not the time miss. And I just don't know if either of these guys have the frame to stay healthy long term. And so I'm just kind of medium on this one.
I think medium's fair. That's why I said 7.
All right. Brandon Ayuk holdout. And the reason I place these two next to each other is because I think these two go hand in hand. And depending on how you answer this might be the reason that you answered the previous one the way that you did as well. How do you feel about the Brandon Ayuk holdout? Or hold
I'm
in,
starting
rather.
To feel like Ayuk is a boy who cried wolf. I'm going to go. I really want to go. Pittsburgh. And then when it finally came down and he was like, I'm still listening. You got one more chance. I'm starting to feel like, man, he bought a house out here. There's no real reason to want to go to Pittsburgh and play on that team. They're just okay. They don't even have a quarterback long-term. Niners seem like they're getting close to Pittsburgh's offer, and I feel like the fact that they haven't matched it yet kind of indicates that they think they still have the upper hand in this negotiation, that Brandon ultimately wants to stay. So it feels like I'm starting to lean towards it's going to work out with him staying and getting an extension, but still, he could miss all of training camp. He could be not in football shape. He could get hurt early in the season. It's not great. This should have gotten taken care of beforehand, but it seems like I'm starting to think he won't get traded to the Steelers. What do you think? So what? Like a six, a five?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I really thought this whole time that he was going to sign an extension with the 49ers. I will admit, though, there was about a 14 hours of kind of panic over the last few days where I was like, oh my God, he's really going to get traded, isn't he? Mm. But I would say at this moment, I'm at like a two. I don't see it happening. I think the 49ers know that they're better off with him. For some reason, they played this hardball game, but ultimately, I think they're going to acquiesce the way that they always do. And Brandon Ayuk's going to be fine. They're probably going to figure it out within the next few days, and Ayuk will have plenty of time to get in shape and be ready to go. So for me, at times, it's been much higher. If you would ask me this 2 days ago, I probably would have been at like an eight. But right now, I would say I'm at a two, which is also why I had Pearsall and Cowing at a five. If I was at an eight or a nine with the Brandon Ayuk situation, then I'd be much higher on the Pearsall Jacob Cowing front. But I'm just not that worried about Ayuk. I'm not.
I don't understand. Like, if the 49ers ultimately offer him 27, 27 and a half, 28 with a little less guaranteed than Pittsburgh, like close to Pittsburgh, but not quite, and Ayuk says yes, like, what? Why did they? Why took them so long? I don't understand that. And there could be serious ramifications. I mean, if it goes down, fans will be happy, and like, no one's going to want to hear that at that point. Everyone's going to be like, shut up. We got Ayuk. Everything's great. But the process is strange, and if anything goes sideways with his season, you're going to go back and look at this as a contributing factor.
Yeah, I mean, we know what all the other receivers got. We also know roughly what the Steelers are offering. So if the 49ers are there, and that ends up being what it is, it's like, okay, well, yeah, certainly Brandon Ayuk made a big hubbub, but at the same time, he won. He got exactly what he wanted. And the 49ers, quite frankly, didn't want to give him that kind of money. I think when the 49ers went into this and were like, hey, go seek a trade, they didn't expect other teams to come up and be willing to pay the way that they were. And they're like, well, all right, I guess we got to just give in here. You know what I mean?
Doesn't it feel like it's a little personal between these two sides? Like they do business together and they ultimately want to keep doing business together. But it seems like both sides want to get over on the other one, win at the other guy's expense. Like, we want to keep Ayuk, but for less than he could get other places, just to show him that we don't really need him. Or Ayuk's like, I want to stay, but only after they bend the knee and kiss the ring. It's like a very strange ego standoff.
Yeah, it definitely does feel that way. But I think a lot of that is because Kyle doesn't have the relationship with BA that he has with some of the other players. I really think that's what it comes down to. I mean, we know that these two have met. You know, we've heard that it's been explosive and all those other things. Regardless of any of that, the fact is we know that they met recently. And we know that the deal still isn't done. And after they met, they were closer to trading him than they were at any other point, which tells you that Kyle, for the first time, wasn't able to come over the top of Parague and Lynch and play that game. So Brandon Ayuk's not buying the brand.
Kyle might have even made it worse if he tried.
Made it worse, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's very possible. Yes.
Yeah.
Very possible. Are you holding a putter right now?
You know, sometimes it's nice.
Does it
to have one?
Do you think it's helping?
No. Sven says, so can we see the shoes you got roasted for? Okay. I'll get the shoes. Hold on.
The famous shoes.
All right. I showed them earlier. These are the shoes. Just, you know, blue suede Vans. I thought they were kind of fly, but I guess, wear them too much. I also have yellow suede slip-on Vans, which probably it's a little too much to have both. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he has a point there. on the Vans. I also have some. I have some Adidas up.
I love this.
Some Boosts. They're kind of dirty. Yeah. But they like, you know, comfortable
for
when
working
run.
Out in. For working out in, that there's nothing better. I'm telling you.
They really feel like a cloud. So nice.
So nice.
So nice. Okay, let's.
All right, you ready for number three?
Let's do number three.
All right. This is the one that nobody's talking about, or at least not talking about it enough, which is the Trent Williams holdout. Where are you at with this one? 1 to 10. How panicked are you on the Trent Williams situation?
I mean, it's not my problem. I mean, this is the Niners' problem, and it's like,
yeah, let's assume like, you're the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like be, right? Like a 10. I mean, not a 10. I mean, like, it's not a 10 in the sense that they can solve it. It's a fixable problem. It's not like, oh my God, Trent Williams is going to be here this year. It's like, oh yeah, you could for sure have Trent Williams this year, but it's going to cost you a lot of money. I know you guys want to roll over a bunch of salary cap space to next year because you're going to have like 18 million free agents, but okay, like, you also want Trent Williams now, so you're going to have to weigh that. And ultimately, I think they're going to end up guaranteeing. What's going to be scary is if it's like they could say, look, all right, man, we'll guarantee the all of your salary this year and we'll give you a bonus, but we're not going to guarantee any salary in 2025 or after that, because privately, we're afraid you're going to freaking retire next year, Trent. And if that's the sticking point, I don't know what you do, because if they guarantee multiple years, and then, oh, he gets hurt and he retires, they're screwed. Their salary, they have so much dead cap. So the 49ers, I don't know the answer, a nine.
The 49ers are in this interesting spot because, yes, it is an all-in year, but they're also the type of team that always wants to be competitive. And they know that if they mortgage their future all in on Ayuk and Trent this year, yes, that makes them a better team now, but does that make them better in 2 years and 3 years? And so they're kind of caught in limbo. We're looking at it as outsiders and saying, well, this is your last year. Who cares? Just go all in. Because if you win a Super Bowl, nobody, like, you have all the amnesty that you need for as many years as you want. But they're looking at it and saying, but we always want to be in the mix, because we know if we're always in the mix, eventually we'll break through, right? Like the law of averages. So that's the way the 49ers have always played it. That's what makes this interesting. I'm probably at like an 8 with the Trent thing. I think the fact that we haven't heard anything is interesting. It makes me wonder, is Trent considering retirement? Also, the fact that I know that Trent Williams, unlike Ayuk, I assume Ayuk would have held out if it got to that. Trent Williams, I know, will hold out if it gets to that, because he's held out before. He didn't show up. Didn't have any plans on showing up because he wasn't getting what he wanted. So I know what Trent Williams will do. And if the 49ers don't just give into the whatever the demands are, he'll be like, no, I'm good here. I'll just stay here. So yeah, I'm at like an 8 or a 9 with this thing.
And I think what's interesting is for the last 2 weeks, everyone's been focused on Ayuk, and they're probably going to extend him in the next few days, and they'll throw themselves a freaking parade, like, mission accomplished. We did it. Now work it out with Trent Williams. What's the situation there? Because we haven't heard any updates.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is the 49ers kind of have this lingering cloud hanging over them with these two deals. And right now it's the Ayuk deal. And you're right. They will celebrate it when they get it done. Just completely forgetting that everybody else can be like, okay, what about Trent? What's going on there?
Yeah,
that's the next question. So
absolutely,
they're not escaping it.
No.
Okay.
But hold on real quick. I think one of the reasons they're going to get something done with Ayuk, and that they finally upped their offer after being so stubborn all offseason, is that they've seen what the offense looks like without Ayuk. They got an up close look at Ricky Pearsall, and they're like, you know what? We don't have much of a choice here. Brock Purdy, not doing great without Ayuk. That's his favorite receiver. That's the guy who lets him push the ball down the field. Otherwise, he's just dinking and dunking like Jimmy.
Yeah, it's interesting because Jimmy held back the offense by dinking and dunking because that's Jimmy's brand. Brock can break through that if he has the right piece. But without Ayuk, he doesn't have the right piece, which means he's going to be forced to play this Jimmy brand of football, and nobody wants to see that again. Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, because if Pearsall had been showing out this whole time, I think they'd be they would have traded Ayuk by now.
Yeah, I think they would have too. They took this really hard line. They were going to trade him to New England. Like, they were ready to say, but mm-hmm. the more they watched practice, the more it was like, man, this Ricky guy really isn't going to be a thing this year, huh? We're really going to start Chris Conley, huh? I mean, good guy, but 7 catches the last 2 years. Like, are you sure you want to do that? And the answer was no. You want some too, old man? No.
I definitely think that if they do extend Ayuk and give him everything that he's been asking for this whole time, that says as much about what they think of Ayuk and how important he is as it does about where they think Ricky Pearsall is at this stage in his early career. So I think that's,
I don't know exactly point. Where he's at, but I could tell you he's nowhere near Brandon Ayuk. So that's an easy one.
It's not even close. No, it's mm-hmm. not close. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about the D-line depth. Now, this is, for me, you've obviously got your starters, your edge rushers that you feel really good about. Gross Matos looks pretty good, but you don't have that fourth guy. You actually don't have a third pure pass rusher either to spell either of your main guys. So there's that. You presumably had found your rotational piece in Kalia Davis, your fourth defensive tackle that you can rely on, but now he's going to miss at least half the season. So where are you at with the D-line depth and your panic meter?
Okay, it's definitely an issue. It's not good, but I'm going to put the panic meter at like a 4 because we're talking about depth. I think the starters are pretty good. And I think defensive linemen are kind of a dime a dozen. Like, I think they'll probably be able to find an edge rusher if they need one. Last year, I mean, there's always a Randy Gregory or a Chase. No one great, but someone who's available that they can probably get off the street or from a team that's terrible and is tanking in a few weeks, months. It seems like a fixable issue. It does hurt that Drake Jackson is giving them nothing and that Robert Beal is giving them nothing. But I feel like Kevin Givens is like a solid backup defensive tackle. He's okay. And yeah. Jordan Elliott, I actually think, could be pretty good. And same okay. with Gross Matos.
Okay. So you at
But I'm 4? A homer. I put it at 4.
Yeah, you're definitely a 49er homer. You just got those rose-colored glasses.
To me, the offensive line is like a freaking 9 or 10. And the defensive line is like, yeah, it could be better, but I still think it should be pretty good. But they should be able to have it fixed by the trade deadline if it's a real issue.
Yeah, I think that edge rusher wise, I definitely do agree with that. I'm going to put it at a 6, still not over the top. But the reason I'm at a 6 is because I don't know if I trust them in run defense. And that's my biggest thing. Last year, I felt like they got gashed at times. Anytime there was a tight game and teams were able to continue to run the ball past the first half, gave the 49ers issues. And I think they lost their best interior run defender in Arik Armstead. Now, they've replaced him with guys that are healthier, but I don't know if they replaced him with guys that are just purely better. And we saw them get gashed a little bit in the preseason at times as well in the one game. So I just don't know where it's at. They might be fine. They might be completely fine. But until I know that they can stop the run consistently up the middle, I'm going to be at a 6 here.
I got one more thing to say about this D-line. Like, mm-hmm. yes, the depth is an issue, but it's, I think also like the starters, like there's questions. Leonard Floyd, he's older, and his thing is that he's dependable and never gets hurt. Like, he's 32. Is that still going to carry over? And like, Javon Hargrave had a real down.
Barney Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2020 45 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Season last year after getting paid, same with Nick Bosa, and Malik Collins is kind of just a steady Eddie. So that starting unit is expensive and has a lot to answer for.
Have you seen Floyd play really good since I left? Because the 4 days I was there, if I didn't know anything about the 49ers, I didn't know anything about Floyd, and you just asked me who the best players were, Floyd would have been an afterthought. Now, I'm trusting that he'll be good because he's been good everywhere. He always produces, and I think that will probably continue, or I would hope that it would. But based off of practice, I mean, he did nothing in the 4 days I was there. Is that still the case, or is he shown it something that makes it seem like
a whole lot?
Fine?
They haven't been doing one-on-ones in like a week. Maybe they'll do them tomorrow. I would imagine they'll do them tomorrow because they would have done them against the Saints in Irvine. Yeah. So we'll see what he looks like tomorrow. But yeah, I'm with you on that one. He hasn't shown much.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the last one here, panic meter 1 to 10, Dre Greenlaw injury. And the reason I ask this one is because I think early on in training camp, we actually were kind of optimistic about replacing Dre Greenlaw. It's like, you got two young linebackers who are fast. They're making big plays and 11-on-11s. These guys can come in and they can bring a little bit of juice. Heck, they might be so good that this might be the last year of Dre Greenlaw. And if Dre Greenlaw doesn't come back, they still might be okay. Yeah, Campbell, he's slow-footed, but they got two young Lions that are up and coming. Well, now we saw them both in a preseason game, and I would say it wasn't great. So, based off of that, where are you with the Greenlaw injury, panic meter 1 to 10? And also, important note here, most 49er fans put the Super Bowl loss on the fact that Greenlaw couldn't finish that game. So if he's not able to play this season and they don't have a good replacement, I would think most 49er fans would be worried that their defense isn't up to snuff because it wasn't good enough for the Super Bowl. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a big issue. I think his absence could really expose Fred Warner to a degree because Fred Warner is seen as like the unquestionable best linebacker in football, but Fred Warner, like, most of his best plays are when he's going backward in coverage. Like, Greenlaw's best plays are when he's going forward or side to side. He's super fast, he's super violent, he's good against the run. And I was thinking D Winters could be like that too, but did you hear Nick Sorensen talking about him today? He's like, oh yeah, man, he's a lot of fun, you know, he just kind of struggled with like his alignments and his assignments. It's like, oh, the basics. So you can't play him yet. He doesn't even know his assignment. Robert Saleh used to say defenses or football is assignment, alignment, technique. It's your job to know all three of those things in any given situation. Like, he doesn't know two of the three. How, what about his technique? Yeah. I don't know. Yikes.
Yeah. I think this one is a little bit bigger than, again, if you would ask me this when I was at camp, I'd have been like 1-2 maybe. You know, I think Campbell is steady. He certainly is not quick-footed at all. You see him doing the drills and you're like, dude, this guy shuffles his feet. Like, he is not a quick mover. I definitely would prefer that Winters or Graham played, but if they don't know where they're supposed to be, I mean, what, you can play fast, but if you're playing fast and picking wrong, then are you really playing fast? You're just making mistakes.
I agree. And I think what they like about Campbell, I saw it today, he made a play in zone coverage. So he's kind of like Fred Warner, and he's 6'3", 6'4". He's been playing this particular style of zone coverage for a long time, and he's pretty effective. He gets got a lot of depth. He's tall. It's tough to throw around him, over him. He's right in the middle of the field. But in terms of like sideline to sideline speed, getting downhill and making plays in the backfield, like, that's not Campbell. That's not Warner. That's Greenlaw. And maybe it's D Winters in a while, but it's not him now. I also actually kind of thought Tatum Bethune was pretty good, but maybe he's not ready to do it either. I think this could really make or break the Niners defense this year, how they handle this one issue.
Yeah, most certainly can. And maybe Campbell's fine. Maybe he works good and it's a non-issue, but it is one of those things where I'm certainly not as confident as I was just a few short days ago before that preseason game. And maybe they'll come out in preseason game two and change it. But I will also say this. D. Winters had this all over his film. He overshot plays. He took bad angles. He missed tackles. That was him in college. And so the fact that we are here 2 years later and we're seeing some of the same things, this just might be who he is right now. And it's not a, we can just coach him up and he'll be fine next week. Maybe, but maybe not. So I would say I'm probably at like a 6.5 on this one. And I would say that, yeah, I would say that I would be higher if I thought there was no chance Greenlaw was coming back this year. But I also do think there's a chance that he comes back. Now, the problem is we don't know if Greenlaw is going to be Greenlaw either. I mean, he is coming off of a significant injury. He may not be as good as he was last year. And that could be an issue.
I got a bonus
one
for the panic meter before we move on. Talanoa Funga. He's supposed to be reevaluated tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 3.
Okay.
And only because I think Malik Mustafa is a really good player. You know, that's what it comes down to, is how good is the replacement option? And I think Malik Mustafa is ready to be a starter in this league. I think with that good of a defense in front of him, that good of a secondary in front of him, yeah, he'll make some mistakes here or there, but physically he's fully ready to go. I think he's very instinctual. He's a lot like Hufanga, but he plays faster and he's a bigger frame as well. So I'll say I'm at like a 2 or 3 on that one.
Okay, I like that. Because I was going to be a 9 or a 10, but now that you said that, I'm a 1.
Oh, even less than me. I like that.
Yeah, you talked me off the ledge on that one. Thank you. Okay, now that I'm in a great mood, let's make some sleeper picks. It's sleeper time. That's the official sleeper song. It's sleeper time. Okay. That's not it.
That's the sleeper jingle.
That's the sleeper jingle now. Let's do some quarterbacks, man. CJ Stroud. Week 1. On the road, Indianapolis, 268.5 passing yards, more or less?
More. I think they're going to try to show off and showcase CJ Stroud with this bevy of receivers. I think they're going to throw a ton week 1. And I think the Colts are a team that you can throw on. So I'm going to go more.
Not if DeForest Buckner has anything to say about it.
That's
I like
true.
It. Russell Wilson. 213.5 passing yards. He's going to be on the road against Atlanta. They just traded for Matthew Judon.
213. Yeah, they did just trade for Judon. 213 is such a low number. But
do you want some Russell Wilson facts from last year? Just so you know where
please,
you stand.
Let's do it. Yeah,
first of all,
yeah.
He's on the Steelers. And they don't, I mean, they're in the stone age when it comes to passing. But last year, he averaged yards per game 204 in 15 starts. 204.
I'll go less. Also, I think there's a possibility that Fields might play ahead of him. So let's go less.
Yeah. Or replace him at halftime. Okay. Let's go Kirk Cousins. 246.5 passing yards against Pittsburgh at home, coming off an Achilles.
Less. Yeah, they're not going to want to throw a bunch. I think that they're going to rely on Bijan Robinson, and the Steelers' defense is really, really good. So I'll go less.
Okay, last one. Josh Allen, 243.5 passing yards at home against Arizona.
Gosh, I honestly could go either way on this one because they don't have the big play ability anymore. I also think Josh Allen really is going to be out to prove that he doesn't need Stephon Diggs. And I think he's going to try to go crazy week one. So I'm going to go more.
Okay. It's a fair one.
They've been taking subtle shots at each other through the media, I've noticed. And that's pretty fun.
Diggs and Allen?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good.
It's going to be interesting. These are the picks. I'm going to flex it. Submit the entry. $10 to potentially win $46 if and when I get these right. You guys know I usually do. You guys want to copy my picks, make your own picks, download the Sleeper app, use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N, and get a deposit match up to $100 on your first deposit. That's how it works. Okay. What's next? Do you think the 49ers are legitimately in a funk? It's like we're a month out. And there's a lot of not great news coming out, but they keep saying, hey, you know, as long as we have everyone healthy, week one will be okay. What do you think they need to do to turn this around if there is something to turn around?
Yeah, I do think they are in a bit of a funk. And I think it was palpable. When I was at practice, people make fun of it. They're like, oh, you're going off of a feeling. It's like, well, yeah, sometimes you just know. And when you're in the building, you feel things. I'll give you an example. NFC Championship. You were in the building. Did it not feel like, as much as they were down by, the moment that Detroit went for that first fourth down and didn't get it when they were in field goal range, the stadium came to life and the 49ers had life. Then obviously the Ayuk play happened and everything was going the 49ers way. But you can just feel things when you're in person that you may not know when you see it on TV and what have you. So I will say that practice last year, every day was jumping. Brandon Ayuk was the best player on the field. It wasn't close. This team had a swagger. They had a confidence. And in fact, Debo during the receiver show talked about that from day one training camp. You could tell this was our year. Well, I wonder if Debo would say that if he was being candid about this year's training camp. Because for me, I felt like it was low energy almost every single day. There was one day of the four that I think felt good, but even during that day, there was a period where it felt low. I don't know if it's something that you're noticing at all, or it's just me having this feeling, but that's the way that I felt. And I do. I don't know what the Super Bowl hangover is. I don't know how to quantify it, but this feels like it's it. That being said, I think that they can break out of it. And I think the only way that they can truly break out of it, they got to win week one. They got to win at home week one. And they got to start their season out right, because if they lose week one, I don't know how I feel about this season. Week one is going to be imperative that they win that game. So
you know what else they could do actually before then to get out of this funk, because they are a low energy team right now. And it's one person's fault. And if they just hold this person accountable, everything will be fine. They should fire Steve Wilkes. It's his fault. You just fire him right now. It's definitely his fault that they're super low energy. Ever since he came here, he's the common denominator on that one. So I think once he's gone, everything will be okay.
That's a very, very good point. I didn't even think about that. It was clear that it was Steve Wilkes' problem when I was there.
Yep. They've had low energy for a while.
Honestly, you tell me, am I making that up? Or do you feel, we haven't talked about this, by the way. You're there every day, and maybe it's changed since I left. That's just the feeling that I got, man. When I was there, something felt off the whole time.
The feeling I got last year was like, remember, it was very much, is Brock ready? He just tore his UCL. He just came off, you know, he just started throwing. So I think there was this whole attitude with the Niners, like, we're going to carry the load for Brock until he's ready because we believe in him. But what he's trying to do is like almost superhuman. And we're good enough as a team to pull this off. So everyone needs to be at their absolute best. And if they do, they could win it all. And they like it all played out how they envisioned it. They got the hot start that they got the first time when they went to the Super Bowl. They got the number one seed. They carried Brock Purdy until he could carry them. And they got to the Super Bowl and they had the lead. And now they're in a funk.
Do you feel it at practice? Like genuinely feel it at practice? Because I even heard Larry, I heard Larry say this yesterday on your show or your guys' joint show, his show, your show, whatever. He said that it feels down at practice. And coming from Larry, that surprised me a little bit. The fact that he feels it and he's willing to say it.
They feel like they're kind of going through the motions. There's not a whole lot at stake. Today was kind of boring. I don't know what it is. Like last year, it felt like there was legit competition, that there was almost like they were on the verge of fighting. Like you don't want players fighting each other, but you want them to sort of get in each other's faces sometimes, I guess, and act like they care. And there's like been none of those moments. There was one moment. It was Jordan Mason. I mean, there's a couple between backups, but no one of like the rich and famous players who actually care, act like they care this year like that.
Yeah.
It's been a tame training camp.
Yeah, most are. And again, maybe Ayuk gets signed. Maybe they work on the Trent thing. Those guys show up. The energy picks up. That's a possibility too. But something just doesn't feel right, man. It didn't feel right when I was there. And sounds like that's still the same feeling. So, yeah, I do think they're in a funk right now.
Okay, so besides all the funk and the stank, that's... They're in Stankonia right now, but there is a bright spot. Mm-hmm. What would you say the bright spot on this team is right now?
Man, I would say the biggest bright spot is the secondary. You know, I'm looking at a team going forward, and they have 39 unrestricted free agents next year. And when I look at that list, most of them are coming from the secondary. I'm looking at guys like Huff, Tre'Davious Ward, D'Amador Lenore. But now I'm looking at it and saying, okay, you know, if they don't bring back Huff, I like Malik Mustafa. If they don't bring back Ward, I think Lenore can be a number one corner. And I think Green can take over for Lenore. And then you've got guys that you thought were pretty good last year that weren't at training camp that are showing up this year and playing well in the secondary as well. Darrell Luter Jr., I think, looks pretty good. So I think the future of the secondary looks good, regardless of whether Tre'Davious Ward and Hufanga are a part of it going forward. I think that's an area where they can trim some of the salary and still be very, very good. And I think for this year, more importantly, which is the year they're trying to win a Super Bowl, this is the best secondary that they've had in many, many, many years. And I don't think it's close. Ambry Thomas was a guy that was starting at times last year. That's how desperate they were at outside corner. I know that he got injured, but had he not gotten injured, I think he probably would have been cut off this team. And that tells you where this depth is at in the secondary. I think the secondary is very, very good, and I think it's a major bright spot on this team right now.
I agree. I think it's got to be the big bright spot because it's not the run defense. It's not the pass rush, really. It's not the offensive line. And, you know, it's the weapons still, but they're missing Ayuk, and they're like sort of having an identity crisis while the secondary is surging. And if they can add, like Isaac Yiadom looks good, and he's been hurt for the last couple of weeks, but if Renardo Green and Malik Mustafa can contribute as rookies, this secondary could be like one of the best in the league. No weaknesses.
Yeah.
And Hufanga too. If he can come back and be the guy he was 2 years ago, that's an all-pro player.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because we talk about the D-line and maybe as far as run defense goes, but if the secondary is good and locking people down, man, I mean, how much more time does the defensive line have to get home? How nice would it be for Bosa to have an extra half a second to corral quarterbacks? I think he could have a pretty big season, right? And the secondary, I think, allows him to have that. And then the other thing that I like about the secondary, it's not just how good the players are, but it's how versatile they are. You've got two guys that can legit be nickel or outside corners in Green and Lenore. and they're interchangeable, which means if you do have an injury, it's all right. You can move one of them outside. You can move one of them to the nickel. There's not going to be a huge drop off. So I think the fact that they're versatile, they're young at a position where you should be young, and they have a lot of depth, that's the biggest bright spot on this team.
It seemed like in the past, smart teams who really scouted the Niners could, and had three good wide receivers could get into 11 personnel and really attack whoever the Niners' number three corner was. Not even have to go after Tre'Davious Ward and DeAmon Lenore, whether it was Ambry or Logan Thomas or whomever. And now I don't think you're going to be able to do that. And if you have to play the Niners honestly and like actually attack Lenore and Tre'Davious Ward sometimes, there could be a lot of turnovers. And we're not even talking about like Jair Brown, who's having a phenomenal camp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the other thing, too, that I like about it is the style of play. If you have a big wide receiver, Tre'Davious Ward, he's your guy. He's your A.J. Brown cover. He's your D.K. Metcalf cover. But if you need somebody to guard Lockett or Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua, DeAmon Lenore is your guy. So they have different types of corners for all types of receivers, and they can really match up well across the board, I think.
I agree. It's a hell of a secondary, and I'm curious to see how Malik Mustafa adds into it, because it looks like he might be the best rookie on the team right now. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. When you talk about the rookies, Pearsall's not contributing right now, but the guys, if you had to choose preseason or pre-training camp, three rookies that you needed to help this team out, I think you probably would have chosen Pooney, Green, and Malik Mustafa. And those are the three that are giving you the most production right now, which is a really, really good sign.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's check out the Super Chat situation, because we have a situation. Mark Salas says, Grant, you have not given your annual report on Debo's butt this offseason. What say you? Activated. It's looking good. It's looking real good. I have to say, the good and the not so good is going in the good section. Kles Limperio became a new member. Dilly G says, I'm late to the live. Can we take a moment to talk about Ricky? How do you think he's feeling? The fall off will be studied. Ricky. We're not talking about Ricky Pearsall now. Ricky with an E. What do you think of the Ricky story? Because, man, it's had some twists and turns. Talk about a story with twists and turns, Ricky.
Yeah, I mean, we live in a silo of the 49ers, right? And if he got it wrong with Brandon Ayuk, it's like, oh, you're a fraud, you're an idiot. He's literally reported like three other things that have happened during this time span about other teams and got them right and was the first one to say it. So Ricky's clearly connected. There's no doubt about that. Does that mean you're going to get it all right? No. Nobody gets it 100% right. And he missed on this one, it seems, but he's still somebody that
it's not over yet.
Pay close attention
but it to. Does seem like Brandon Ayuk kind of had certain people feel fooled about how much he wanted to leave the Niners. But again, it's not over yet. All of a sudden, he seemed like, oh, you know what? Maybe we'll make a deal.
Yeah, but even then, I mean, throughout this process, he's gotten a lot right. He was the first one to report the Browns and the Patriots. He was right on that. He was the first one to report that it seemed like if any team, it would be the Steelers. Now, where he was wrong, it was saying it was a done deal, and that's where he completely screwed up. And that's where he's getting eviscerated for, which I get. But again, the guy's not a fraud, that's for sure.
Vans Rule Grant says, Kles Limperio, off the wall, baby, screw Kittle.
Not like Kittle. Wow.
I bet you he has some Vans, too. Kittle's point was just to switch it up, which I'd have to say that's a fair point. Juan Maurice Eduardo Carlos Marin Sanchez Ortiz says, hola from Mexico, Grant. I wear Vans all days of the week to my family, too. They can be known as the Mexican shoe for all Mexicans. We get good price.
Shout out to
Juan Maurice Eduardo Carlos Marin Sanchez Ortiz. Shout out to you, man. I'm glad that we're on the same page.
That's like Dikembe Mutombo. He had like seven middle names.
Seven names. How come I don't have a name like that?
I don't even have a middle name. I just have two names. I need to step my name game up. I'm changing my name.
Do you think he has five middle names or two first names, three middle names, and two last names? Because Sanchez Ortiz feels like two last names.
That was insane, yeah.
Anyway, it's the best name I've ever seen. And I feel like a rapper name. Or a singer could have a name like that. You know what I mean? It's always like one name. No. Don't give me that Madonna, Prince bullshit. Give me seven names.
I like it. Yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for
Thank
it.
Thank you very much. And you could just shorten it to JMECMSCO.
It rolls off the tongue. Yep.
It does. Jamal Armstrong says, for Niners being in a funk, goes to show how much leaders like Trent and BA really are. Those two guys lead by their actions, even more than their words. Tone setters. Says a lot about them. Different without them.
That's a good point, Jamal. That's a very good point. And
it's a great point.
Maybe the funk is simply them not being there. It could be that for sure.
We want the funk. Gotta have the funk.
Gotta have the funk, yeah.
Yeah. All Niners says, make your prediction who leads in INTs this year. Jair.
Lenore.
Ooh, I like it. Flav says, hard to be excited right now when you've come up short three times. I see a 10-7 type year. Slower start. Still win the NFC West because Rams decline. Seattle sucks. Card surprise people win 8 games and get second in the West.
I'll say this. I don't know that they finished 10-7. He's hamstring, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stafford. It's rough. But I will say this, 10-7 won't win this division.
I don't know about that. I'm not sure that Seattle sucks. Ricky Williams says, if we end up signing BA, what do you think about selling those top draft picks for a star pickup before the deadline? If this is truly the last year, I say we go all in, win or lose, figure it out later.
What do you think
Ricky Pearsall's worth in a trade right now?
I don't think he's worth a lot, but maybe he means pick 1 and 2 in next year's draft. I don't think Ricky Pearsall gets squat on the open market right now.
Fair enough. Brother Bob says, here I'm suing Kittle for you, Iggy. Got you. I'm telling you, Kittle, character assassination. I wear New Balances sometimes. That is just libelous slander.
Brother Bob is a lawyer, so, you know.
But if I end up getting a Vans partnership out of this or a sponsorship, thank you, George.
I love it.
Whenever I go to Levi's, I see his face. He's like, you know, I'm like, George.
Hey, good to see you.
Hey, George. Hi, George. Okay, that's the show. Thanks for watching very much, everyone. Grant Cohn, Jesse Naylor, make sure you subscribe and like to Last Second Sports and to my channel. And check out my podcast on Spotify, The Cohn Zone. I'm going to be putting up some audio-only content this season weekly. So check that out. Make sure you subscribe and leave a 5-star review and mention how much you like my shoes. Flav says Juan Maurice Eduardo Carlos Marin Sanchez Ortiz. Cone. He's my cousin.
He's got a...
he put the commas?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I like it.
See, good night, everyone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.